is the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Celebrity Afterlife Report. Still the only show on the internet that gives you the up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. I was sure that this concept would have been ripped off by somebody but now. But no, we're still the only one. I am your host, the Celebrity Medium. I've got a metric crap ton of stuff to tell you about in this episode. New stuff, updates on old stuff, all kinds of stuff. It's all right here. I've been talking about this afterlife sitcom, Happy Wife, Happy Life, for some time now, because I think it sounds really stupid and like a throwback to the silly sitcoms of the 70s. For some reason, it's a gigantic success. It's the number one new show on television in the next world. Okay, here's the synopsis that I used the first time I described this show on the report. Happy Wife, Happy Life. Florence Henderson and Robert Reed, you remember them from the Brady Bunch, they play a married couple in which the husband is gay. His homosexuality has to be kept secret from his anti-gay boss, played by Paul Lynde. The little wink, wink, nudge, nudge here is that Reed and Lynde are actually both gay in real life. Lynde's character's wife is played by Mary Tyler Moore. Now, she has a crush on Reed's character, not realizing that he's just not interested in women. Her father, played by Peter Falk, strongly suspects that his daughter's crush is gay, and he keeps trying to discourage her interest in him. So that's pretty stupid and convoluted, right? I mean, am I wrong about this? Well, it's just gotten more convoluted and arguably even stupider. Remember Erin McMahon, Erin Moran from Happy Days? Okay, she just got a part on Happy Wife, Happy Life. She plays Mary Tyler Moore's character's daughter from a previous marriage who is back from college, and she suspects that her mother's husband, played by Paul Lynde, is gay. She also has a very close relationship with her maternal grandmother, and that character you may remember is being played by Edith Tolson, who was known as J. Edgar Hoover before her gender confirmation surgery, when she was the longtime director of the FBI. So it's like a lot of little cutesy, like, casting, just so that people who know the deal will go, oh, it's a gay guy pretending to be anti-gay, and the grandmother used to be a guy. that's the way it sounds to me. You know, I suppose it's inclusive and everything, but just everything about this show just sounds stupid. But on the other hand, I thought Two Broke Girls was incredibly stupid. That was a huge hit, too, so what do I know? All right, Gene Wilder and Gilda Radner. They were married on the earthly plane, and they are married again in the next world. Gene described Gilda as the love of his life, and of course she died of cancer several years ago. Now, a while back, they announced they were going to have a new project that would be unlike anything Gilda has ever been in before, and we now have some information about that. It's a movie, and in it, she plays a mousy secretary who breaks up with her boyfriend. Now, so far, that seems to fit with the kind of things that she did on Saturday Night Live. So far, so good. So her character goes for a long drive to clear her head after she breaks up with the boyfriend. She's driving past a secret government lab. She is hit with an energy beam and is now invulnerable and super strong. Is it sounding dumb yet? So she crashes the car and there isn't a scratch on her. So she's secretly, you know, a superhero, but she has to go back to her dumb secretarial job, and she still doesn't have a man in her life, and I presume hilarity ensues. I don't know, you know, like, I'm completely wrong about Happy Wife, Happy Life, so I might be completely wrong about this, too. This will probably make, well, there's no money in the afterlife, but it'll probably get, like, a billion people to go see it. Jean-Michel Basquiat and Salvador Dali, they're both artists, and they both own the indoor rain attraction known as environment, which was originally constructed by Steve Jobs, the former CEO of Apple. Whole big deal there. He got disgusted with the whole project, handed it off to Basquiat and Dali. Oh, there's some earthly plane news about Jean-Michel Basquiat. Just in the last week, one of his paintings set a record at auction for the highest price ever paid for a painting by an American artist, $110.5 million, bought by a Japanese billionaire. Not even one of my favorite Basquiats, by the way. Now, you should know that they've been working on a very, what sounds like an insane movie, that they're shooting inside environment. And there's a giant copy of the Sphinx, except it has Michael Jackson's face, and it's built out of some kind of rubbery material. It's described as being jello-like. Now we get the word that there are rumored to be other unusual set pieces. We don't know anything about those, and there's a reason. It's because crew members are being asked to sign non-disclosure agreements because of leaks about the Sphinx. So they're trying to keep a lid on any information about this movie. Seems like they're kind of closing the barn door after the cows out. But hey, what do I know? They have approached director Stanley Kubrick to help them with some of the logistics. If you know anything about Stanley Kubrick, you know that he made the movie 2001 back in 1968. That movie was so good in terms of special effects, it still looks good today. It doesn't look like hokey when you look at it. Now, the movie is reportedly running over schedule, and a big part of that is because the Sphinx is on a giant platform which shakes to make the whole thing wiggle, like jello. But this platform is very large, and the machinery, and it keeps stripping the gears. So they want Kubrick to kind of help them with that, and maybe he can bring in some of his old special effects people and blah, blah, blah. You know, if I was going to bet, if this project continues, I'm just going to limb here, and I'm going to bet that they actually end up getting Kubrick to just direct the whole damn thing. We'll see. Okay, the aforementioned Steve Jobs, former CEO of Apple, is teamed up with Walt Disney. They took over the town formerly known as Trump City. It was a gated community. You probably know that story. Trump and Charles Lindbergh wanted to turn it into a whites-only community. That turned out to not be a great idea. They disappeared. Nobody knows where either of them are. Jobs and Disney just kind of moved in the dead of night and took it over. It's now called Mediopolis. It's supposed to become the new tech center of the next world. It was a walled community all along. It was a gated community with a wall all the way around it. They've now added a dome to that, and it has a suspended monorail. In other words, it's a monorail, but the track is above the train. They're working on the monorail. The dome is installed now. They're having creative differences between them. It doesn't sound like it's anything too big. Walt Disney insists on calling the residents cast members, just like he did with employees at Disneyland and later Disney World. And he wanted to convert the town so it looked like the Main Street USA section of the Magic Kingdom. When you come into Disneyland, the Magic Kingdom at Disneyland or Disney World, the first section you see is called Main Street USA, and it looks like a turn of the 20th century town in America, like a 1900 town. Jobs doesn't want any part of that. He wants it to be not that, basically, and he wants it to be very different from the new headquarters, which his old company Apple is building, which is a giant ring. It's 3/4 of a mile all the way around the building, and it's super clean, streamlined, and modern. Jobs doesn't want that. They haven't agreed on what they do want, but he knows he doesn't want that. Jobs has already agreed to allow Disney to have so-called casting calls for non-essential residents. I don't know exactly what that means, but I'm reading between the lines here, and I'm thinking it means if you're not like a techie person in the town, you know, you're just somebody who lives there, works there, he wants you to walk around in costume of some kind, you know, to, I don't know, fit whatever theme they end up giving the place. So Disney's going in a Disney direction, Jobs is going in a Jobs direction. They're going to have to meet in the middle somewhere. That's where that project stands currently. Okay, that's it for the Celebrity Afterlife Report for this week. I'll be off next week because of Memorial Day, but I'll be back the week after that. with more up-to-the-minute gossip about all your favorite deceased celebs. Hope you'll join me then. In the meantime, here's what you could do, and I would appreciate this. Tell your friends, your family, your neighbors, homeless people on the street, bus drivers, anybody you see or speak to about the report. You can also like it if wherever you listen to it gives you that option. And if you're listening to it on YouTube, you know, subscribe to the channel. Any way you can subscribe, subscribe. I'd really appreciate that. It really helps. Of course, it can be found on iTunes in the Google Play Store. And whenever they run it on K-Chung Radio, AM 1630 in Los Angeles. And until next time, I am the Celebrity Medium, and I thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Celebrity Afterlife Report podcast. To ask a question about your favorite deceased celebrity, call 818-3-MY-DREAM. 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 818-369-3732.